Alan Kring Productions, in association with Emergent Light Studio, presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, for spring semester 2022. Today, second review for the midterm exam. Let me see what I've got here. I'm going to give you the outline of it. It is 36 questions. Most are 2.5 points. Let me see something here. Let me check on something real quick here. Most of them are 2.5 points each. Let me check here one thing real quick. I am missing something here I don't see. But let me go on through. Oh, I see why it's 36. Because there's a matching that counts as one question. So as we go through here, first things first is that there are the multiple choice questions. And then let me do something. There are several, three or four, I'm not seeing them all, but there are true and false. And then there are some of the multiple choice are only three choices as well. And there are, and like I said, there is a matching section as well. And that should be pretty much a no-brainer. Those are very straightforward matching. Just make sure that you do those. Don't forget to answer all of those. I've had that happen a few times. But let me go through here, and I'm going to tell you what I think you should know. Then it's up to you to ask me if something's going to be on the exam, and I'll say, if it isn't, I'm going to say, no, don't worry about that. First things first is that if it's been said in lecture, it's fair game. If I didn't say it in lecture, but it was in your book, then it's not something I'm going to ask about. Your best way to study for this is to read your notes and listen to the podcasts, and then from there, you would then reference the book for some of the information clearly as well. Now, first things first, I expect you to know about the basics of a company. The difference between a sole proprietorship, partnership, corporation, all of that kind of stuff. Make sure you know what we mean by in accounting versus finance by costs. Historical, opportunity, replacement, future expected. You should know that. You should know the difference between what is important to an accounting and what is important to finance. Accounting keys on the net income. In finance, we don't really care about net income. We are looking for free cash flow. They are not the same. Make sure you know the different kinds of financial intermediaries. What is a bank versus what is an investment bank? What's their differences? What is financial intermediation? I would anticipate that you will know how to read stock screens. I will put up a company. And I will ask you very much the same kinds of questions that I did on the quiz. Here's a screenshot of a company. And then ask you some things about how much you would pay if you bought, how much you'd get if you sold. Remember that I might say, okay, you're going to buy a round lot of AMZN. Are you going to earn money? How much? Are you going to pay money? How much? So make sure that you know around lots, 100 shares, obviously, but also what you look at to get what you pay for it and what you look at if you want to know how much you're going to get if you sell it. I showed you, starting early in the course, SEC documents. You need to know about 8Ks, 10Ks, Qs. What is it that I look for in a 10K? Let me see. Oh, make sure you know about the Securities Act of 1933 and the Securities Exchange Act of 1934. I ask that on a quiz. I will come back around and do it again. Here's some terms that you should probably know. Bid and ask. Market cap. Commercial paper. Common stock. Liquidity. Beta. Money, capital, spot, forward, dividend, capital gain, risk, flight to quality. Risk and flight to quality. Flight to quality. And for God's sake, don't go to Wikistupedia. I will put answers there that you will answer if you run there to get something. And I will guarantee you it'll be wrong. Especially with words like liquidity and flight to quality and things like that. You're academics. You're getting college degrees. You don't need imbecile sites like that. You learn in the classroom. Okay, a bond versus a note versus a bill. Make sure you know the differences. What's a yield curve? The difference between an ordinary annuity and an annuity due. The difference between discounting and compounding. Now, that is not an exhaustive list, but that gives you an idea. There were a lot of terms that I threw at you. Some of them you've used all your life or something like that, but now they have tighter, much more specific meanings in our world, in business. So it's important that you know those tighter words. Okay, I've brought up some just along the way here. Let me check some. Okay. Yeah, I already mentioned the cost. Now, as far as that, let me make a point here about Chapter 7. I'm not going to ask you anything particularly numerical, but I do expect you to know the basics of what a bond is and what the major parameters, what are the major parts of a bond, its coupon, its face value, that kind of stuff, okay? So I will ask that. I will also ask you one question about finding the yield on a one-year treasury. Finding the yield on a one-year treasury. That was the example of the treasury auction. Very straightforward, taking maybe about 10 seconds to do it and get some points. Oh, interest rates. Make sure you know what is in the risk-free rate versus what is not in the risk-free rate. Within that, the two parts of the risk-free rate. What makes them change? What is the driving force behind the real rate? And what is the driving force behind the expected inflation premium? One of those is a short term. The other is a long term. Make sure you know which is which. And then there's the risk premium, the default maturity and illiquidity. Know when you're going to see those. Where would you not see a default premium, for example? Where would you not see an illiquidity premium? Where would the maturity premium be significant? In that same line of discussion, the yield curve. Make sure you know what it is and what its shape is under different economic conditions looking forward. I will give you a picture of some yield curves, and I'll ask you something about them. Now, on ratios, I will not have you calculate a ratio, but I will have you show me that you know what makes them, what they are, what can cause them to change. That question on the quiz gives you an example. If debt goes up compared to equity in a company, well, then equity would go down, so the return on equity, net income divided by equity, would go up. So the company becomes more debt-ridden, it actually has the return on equity go up. Current ratio and things like that, okay. If I'm not going to get into it, but know the relationship between the current ratio, the acid test and the burn ratio, which one's the biggest, et cetera, all that. Inventory turnover ratio, how can you make that ratio go up? That kind of stuff. As I said, I've copied and pasted questions from the quizzes onto the exam. So those are out there, and they're fair game for you to prep for you. Free cash flow. I will ask you something. Okay, accounts receivable goes up. What does that do to free cash flow? Or something like accounts payable goes up. What does that do to free cash flow? You reduce your inventory. Okay, that would make inventory turnover ratio go up, but it would also make your free cash flow go up too. You are allowed a 4x6 or 6x4 note card, both sides, and your ratios, that financial ratios sheet I put in ReggieNet for you. You're permitted to have both of those for the exam. So that should not be a matter of memorizing. It should be a matter of understanding. Yes. Only as regards what it means. That's not a second note, but you can write, well, inventory turnover ratio, well, that's how many times a year the inventory is completely turned over or sold out of the warehouses of the company, something like that. Just back and forth with some random stuff. Make sure you know what NOPAT is and what the pathway is for us to get to free cash flow. As far as, I think I already covered interest rates, but just make sure you understand the pieces, the components of an interest rate, and understand how bonds are riskier or not riskier based up, and how that's reflected in the parts of an interest rate, and how the Federal Reserve moves short-term interest rates around. Make sure you know the difference between a primary and a secondary market, the relative sizes of the bond and stock markets. Now, the numericals, the big numericals, you're going to be given a consumer loan. I'm going to describe the how much and the APR and how long, and then I'm going to ask you for the payments on the loan, the balance after a certain period of time, and the effective rate, just like I did on the quiz. I'm not going to throw any kind of a curveball. Just do it. You know how to do it with the TVM solver. If you don't have that, there are other calculators you can use. Don't make that one a difficult matter. And then I'm going to give you an annuity, just like I did on the quiz. For heaven's sakes, don't just do 12. For God's sake, look at what I'm asking in the problem. If I say weekly, that's 52. If I say daily, that's 365. If I say every other month, that would be 6. Every other week, that would be 26. Twice a week, that would be 104, for heaven's sakes. Just look at the problem. How often are the payments being put in? That was what killed you on that one. It was just automatically put in a 12, and that killed you. That was the end of it right there. No, just take note of what I described. Read it carefully. You'll have time. Stay frosty on this. Clean up the easies first. You got enough easies that you can pass with a C+, B- right there, just cleaning those up in the first 10, 15 minutes. And then you've got all that time to go back through and plow a little bit through the next level, which are some more thinking kinds of problems and some basic math. And then save the heavy math for the end. You'll have plenty of time for it. Just don't rush yourself and don't panic. For God's sake. And like I said, make sure you know how to read stock screens and know what I'm talking about. What's an index? What's an exchange? I mentioned that last week. And know the sizes of the markets. I think I already said that. Okay, that's what I have. Now it's your turn to ask me questions. You have it? Yes.
What is flight to quality?
That is when your investors move from risky to less risky investments. Give me a second here. God! I'm going to show you a flight to quality. It's happening today. Stocks are riskier than bonds overall. So let's have a look. Investors are selling equity positions, getting out of the risk, and they're running over here. Well, look at this. Bond yields are going down. That means bond prices are going up. That means that the investors are moving to buy the bonds, the safer asset, with the proceeds they get from selling the stocks. That's a classic flight to quality. This is not nearly as bad as it was earlier today, but it's still. And even notice this, there's even a pretty decent little movement upward in the metals. So there's a little bit of a second stage flight to quality from stocks to bonds, from bonds to gold, and then from gold to bullets. We're not there yet. We may just jump over the bullets and go right to nukes. But yeah, flight to quality. Just there, you can see it right there. Selling the stocks and buying the bonds. That's a significant buy. Look at that. That's almost 12. That's 12 basis points yield going down, which is price going up. So there's some pretty heavy buying into the bonds, the safer investments. Crude is making its way. It's trending. It's trying to hold on there to get to 100 and stay there. So plan on buying some gas if you don't want to pay a lot for your gas to drive somewhere over spring break. Go ahead. Other questions? Yeah.
What is
Notepad? Huh? Oh, I thought you said Notepad. That's a really lame word processor. No. Okay, Notepad, the net operating profit after taxes. It's your operating income minus your taxes on operating income. In other words, you jump over, accountants subtract out interest expense, and then they calculate taxes. We don't use interest expense because it's not operating. So we go right from operating income, EBIT, right down. We say, what's the tax on EBIT? And then we get NOPAT. Yeah. Go back. That would be like second and third week is where I went through the first pass at NOPAT. If you're looking for a place where that would be in your notes or in podcasts, that was my first pass. We'll come back to that again near towards the end of the semester. We'll go straight down to unlevered free cash flow, but not today, fortunately. Okay, what else? Yeah. A consumer loan, I plan to do it this weekend. I'll put up a couple of loans on the in resources tonight just for you to practice. I had forgotten to get that put up there, and I won't be able to get back to my flat until later. But, yeah, you'll get that. Just a few to practice. Yeah. Primary and secondary markets. When a company raises money, by selling securities, that's a primary market transaction. That was the Securities Act of 1933, government regulated that. If it's just investors, what you see here, all of this is secondary market activity. This is just buyers and sellers. The company has nothing to do, well, it has extraordinarily little to do with this from day to day. Yeah. Actually, the short answer is yes. But companies can do what are called seasoned offerings. Like Microsoft, it did its IPO years ago. That was a primary market. But it still sells new issue stock sometimes to raise more money. That would be a primary market transaction as well. That's a decent question, though, because most people think that the IPO have primary market happens only once. It can happen more than once. Say that again? That's interesting. You should ask that. That is secondary market because they're actually going out and just buying it from, you know, I've got 100 shares of Microsoft. I decided to sell it. It might be Microsoft buying that. Full disclosure, I do not have 100 shares of Microsoft. But you know, you wouldn't know. They have to do disclosures to the SEC, but you don't know whose stock they're buying when they enter. There's just stock being bought and sold. And so Microsoft might quietly go in there and gobble up some to get back into Treasury. And they would not make a big thing about it because they don't want to spook the markets. Good question, though. Yeah. What else do you want to ask me? Yeah.
Will we have to analyze, like, Excel spreadsheets?
No. No. I don't want my tires slashed. I did try that once a long time ago, and, man, the bitching I got for that one, especially since Mac, what back in the day was not Excel friendly. So anyway, what else? Let me look at something here. Real quick. Would you like a hint for a problem? For, like, three problems? Here's a hint. Over-roasted. And no, don't send me some stupid email. I think I've got it. Is this right? No, I'm not going to tell you. Just over-roasted. Okay. Got other questions? Yeah. Well, the first thing is that the K's and Q's, the 10K and the 10Q, those are the full disclosures of all the financials and also all of the other things about a company. It's disclosures about its operations. It's disclosures about why the financials look the way they do. It's disclosures about its competition, its environment, its officers and directors. That's all there in the 10Ks and the 10Qs. Now, there's one part of the 10K that I made a big mention of that I told you is an important thing for you to look at if you're doing research or if you're for a term paper or if you're doing something else, like looking at a company to see if it's worth you getting a job with them. Now, the 8K has to do with you becoming getting abducted by aliens. Everyone just looked up at me. What the hell? You know I told that story. If you remember the story about the abduction, and you were in the field, you were a CFO, and you were in a field, cow field at night, and the aliens thought they were abducting cattle, and they picked you up too, and all of that. Well, that has to do with 8Ks. Yeah, that's all I'll tell you. But it's definitely something that is worth you looking at. We watch those like a hawk. For example, I don't know if it's out in an 8K right now. Let me close this. I'm going to check something real quick. Is Estee Lauder a public company? No, they're not a public company. I guess. Oh, yeah, they are. Let me check something real quick here. I'm going to show you. Estee Lauder just drove its CEO out today. I'm going to check the SEC to see if they've made an 8K filing on it. Filings. Really? EL. And you'll see what I mean. 8K. Yep, there it is. Statement of non-recurring event. They chased out their CEO. He was stupid enough to put Instagram quotes up with just like drop your jaw racist stuff. And in corporate America, you don't do anything even close to that as any employee. But at the top of a company, well, they just invited him to retire. But yeah, there's the filing right there. It's already happened today. They did it to him today, and the 8K filing was made today of a non-recurring event in the company. And man, that was spectacular too. So whatever your personal feelings or beliefs or your politics are, you don't do that in modern corporate America, or you will get canned like Schnatter did at Papa John's. This one was just spectacularly bad. Yep. Disclosed that effective February 22nd, that was the day that they chased him out, John Dempsey, executive group president, was placed on unpaid leave. He must leave the company, and he will retire effective March 4. Non-recurring event immediately has to be disclosed. That's that whole thing about complete and transparent information. That's what we expect in modern capitalism. It's you don't hide anything. You don't just tell someone. You make a full public disclosure, and you don't have to make it dramatic. See how short this is? We just canned his ass. That's all translated to normal English. We canned his ass for his Instagram racism. So keep that in mind, that things can get ugly sometimes. But anyway, and notice interestingly enough that, oh God, the stock went down. That means it was a bad thing? No, it's going down because this company, the whole market's going down. Now, let's just make sure we're full disclosure. First of all, is this a risky or a not risky company? Yeah, slightly risky. You see that? It's a little bit. Are the beta and the PE ratio confirming each other on risk? Yes, they are. They're both a little above where we consider the 1 and 30, 1.08 and 33. So this is pretty old company. Is it profitable? Oh, hell yeah. Do they pay a dividend? Yahtzee. And if you take 364.48 divided by 295 minus 1, you'll get the predicted capital gain for 1 year. Then you have to add to that the forward dividend of 0.8% to get the full gain, the total annualized yield on the investment. Make sure you know how to do that for the exam. If you know how to do that, you're in good shape. Is that a complete enough answer for you? Good. And actually, that was great. I ought to send Dempsey a thank you letter for being an idiot and letting me show a fresh 8K. I mean, that was today that all happened. Apparently, on the 22nd, they asked him to go on an unpaid leave, but that was not enough to trigger the 8K. Because, I mean, unpaid leave, he might have just farted in a board meeting. But this, yeah, this was significant. Other questions? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for calculating, like, an annualized yield, do we need to know how to find, like, the day?
No, I will ask only one like this, 364. So, in other words, it's automatically 1 year. I won't do the days between dates thing on you. Like I said, there's just too much chance for you to make a mistake on that and screw it up. So the aim of this is usually on this exam, the average is about a 77 to a 79%. And I hope to see it a little bit higher than that this time, but we'll see about that. I beat the hell out of you on the quizzes sometimes, but the whole point of this is to get you ready for this. Anyway, what else you got? Stay frosty, eat your Wheaties, get plenty of sleep, and don't get sick before the exam. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.